Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
With Vodafone. Showcase your business at the Aviva this November with Vodafone's See Your Business Pitch Side Competition. See vodafone.ie/business.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, we'll hear how young people are using AI and what parents need to be aware of. As Apple gets ready to launch the iPhone 17, we'll look back at the history of the company. And as ever, I'll answer your tech questions. If you want to get in touch, you can do so right now. Drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. At the end of the show last week, we spoke about the parents of Adam Rain, who have brought legal action against OpenAI, the parent company of ChatGPT in California. This is in relation to the death of their son, Adam. Adam tragically took his own life, and his parents argue the platform validated his most harmful and self-destructive thoughts. This case is upsetting and worrying and obviously deeply tragic, but it highlighted the risks that can come from young people engaging with artificial intelligence. We gained some insight this week into just how many children in this country are using it from new research published by CyberSafe Kids. Alex Cooney, the CEO, is with me now. Alex, this is something that's not surprising to some, but I'm sure many will find shocking.
That's right. And we've seen a real growth in numbers since last year. So we started to measure this last year, and the numbers for both primary and secondary school were pretty low. This year, it is sizable. So we're reporting on just over a quarter of primary school children and over a third of secondary school kids who are engaging with some regularity with AI-powered chatbots. We don't drill down into which ones, but I mean, the reality is they are using a lot of the apps that where these bots are embedded. So the likes of WhatsApp, Snapchat, but of course you've other options like ChatGPT. So the case you mentioned there is in relation to ChatGPT. But what's interesting about the findings is we ask the question, well, what are you using it for? And primarily it's actually homework and to look up information. Some of the children do talk about chatting and looking for friendship. So that's probably where we'd be most concerned. But actually the case that you're referencing, Adam's use initially was just, again, like homework queries. It was a fairly innocuous sort of homework search, and somehow it evolved into, and of course, we've got to bear in mind that these bots that we're talking about are designed to be incredibly human, very warm, very engaging. And crucially, you know, they want to keep you talking. They want to keep you on. And there are real questions about, you know, what then is evolving in those conversations. And, you know, especially if it's leading in a dangerous direction, as this case, appears to have done.
Yeah, and I think this harps back to conversations you and I have had on this program for many years relating to the regulation and education of our young people when it comes to various platforms. We were talking not that long ago about what more social media companies could do, and I guess I just find it a bit baffling that we're still having this conversation and now adding in new AI platforms into the mix. Am I being overly pessimistic with my take, or do you think we're in a better position now at this stage of the AI journey in comparison to where we were at this stage of the social media journey?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would say that we are, of course, now seeing more regulation in play. So there, it's now live, it's enforceable. And that, I hope, will prove to be very positive in time. So we should see numbers of, for example, of underage children on social media drop. But, you know, we were very slow to regulate, and arguably we still have gaps. You know, I've long said gaming platforms, for example, are just not sufficiently regulated. And yet it is an extremely popular thing, particularly for those younger kids. And AI, again, is an area that we are just too far behind on in terms of regulation. We do have the AI Act at the European level now, but it didn't have a particular focus on child protection. Now, it does talk about children as vulnerable users, but it really doesn't go far enough. We need more specific laws that are going to address you know, protecting and protecting children, but also upholding their rights in these digital environments. So to my mind, we still have a lot of work to do. And, you know, I worry that it will be on the back of, you know, a few awful cases that, you know, finally, okay, the recognition will come that we need to go further, that the safeguards, we need to be much more specific about the types of safeguards that are there. Like in that case with Adam Rain, you know, the when I was reading analysis of it, you know, some of it pointed out you can't search for the lyrics of a popular song on ChatGPT because of copyright laws. There's very clear parameters around that, so you simply can't. Yet when it comes to these safeguards around things like suicide, obviously they don't go far enough, and that's a real concern. So my feeling is that wherever children go online, whether it's a gaming platform or a sort of social media type, instant messaging type, or indeed these engaging with these chatbots, they should be afforded real and effective protections. And we're still, I'm afraid, a long way from that.
Yeah, and that is something that the recent survey shows as well. So when it comes to age verification, 71% of 8 to 12 year olds are using social media and instant messaging apps that are meant to be for 13 and over. Do you have hope that we will get that number down as a result of the online safety code that has come into effect?
Yes, absolutely. So I hope when we're having this conversation in a year's time, that we'll see a real difference, you know, that there will be far fewer underage users of 13 plus sites and platforms. We've already seen a shift in fairness over the last year, but I don't think that's necessarily down to any particular changes on the part of these platforms, these companies. I think it's more to do with this grassroots movement that has been happening in Ireland and in other countries, where parents are coming together with schools in a lot of cases and agreeing to hold off at least until the child is in secondary school. And, you know, that relates to the smartphone specifically. So we've seen a real drop off on children under the age of 13 who own their own smartphone, and on social media. So last year, I think we reported around 84% of 8 to 13 year olds with a social media account or instant messaging account in their name. This year, that's 71%. So I do think parents listening should take encouragement from that. The fact that these grassroots movements do seem to be shifting the dial. So, you know, there are more and more groups emerging around the country. And I think that is parents saying, you know, I want to take this into my own hands. But what I would hope to see in parallel with this is that, you know, in that online safety code, it says self-declaration of age is no longer a sufficient way to determine age. So we should, in theory, start to see more rigorous attempts to determine age through age assurance technology, through age estimation, not necessarily age verification, which is more specifically related to kind of a personal ID, because that seems to be, that requirement seems to be more specifically, certainly under European level regulations related to adult content, that 18 plus content. Mm. But yeah, I'm actually really interested to see what will happen with the likes of Snapchat, TikTok, YouTube, you know, in relation to children gaining access. Of course, WhatsApp, which is really popular with kids, and there's 29% of them under 13 who have a WhatsApp account. They're not really subject to the same regulations that the others are, because they're seen as an interpersonal communications platform. And I think because they have child users, they should be subject to more stringent regulations. We see children tend to use it in groups, right? They're all part of these big groups. You can have up to 1,000 users in a group. So I think, and some of the other things that the features that they have, which are increasingly like Snapchat's model, I think it's increasingly dangerous to say that they can be afforded this exception.
And particularly with Meta AI now embedded in there, you've got a WhatsApp version of it that you can interact with and have chats with. And as you said at the beginning, in the context of the Adam Rain case, we've seen examples of AI matching the tone and the enthusiasm for whatever subject a person, whether they're a child or an adult, is putting into it. So in my opinion, it absolutely should be looked at. But the other point around WhatsApp is that it's not mentioned specifically within the online safety code. We know that there are named VLOPs, which are the very large online platforms, but there's also a ton of other platforms that are not covered. surely by having such a narrow band of regulation, things will fall through the cracks and damaging or upsetting content will find a way to our young people.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one area would be gaming, the regulation of gaming platforms, because actually none of those platforms are on the list of the VLOPs. That doesn't mean they're not subject to some regulation under the Digital Services Act. They are. But it's not the kind of more robust requirements that the VLOPs are subject to. So yeah, I think that's a real oversight, especially when you consider that the number one thing for online activity for a child in primary school to be doing is online gaming. I think we're really missing a trick there in terms of ensuring that any, as I said earlier, any child online environment that a child is going into is going to be afforded these protections. There's a very good model which the Digital Futures Commission came up with, which is this like design framework, and it's called the Child Rights by Design Principles, 11 principles. And it really is very comprehensive. And what I'd like to see is that, you know, any platform that is likely to be accessed by a child, or indeed is being accessed by a child, must meet those standards before they can be accessed by a child. And yes, it might mean more age verification or age assurance being put in place, but I think it's really, they're really kind of a positive set of principles that including, you know, children's rights to participate and be asked about, you know, what design features they like and so on. Because when we look at some of the quotes from children that we have included in this year's report, we get a lot of feedback from kids through the survey, but also in focus groups. So many of them relate to seeing things that they didn't want to see, you know, sexual content, violent content, content related to torture, that it was coming across their feed, probably as a result of the recommender algorithm. And I think that is a real problem. Like, it's for children, they should be seeing stuff that they've expressed interest in and that is age appropriate. This recommender algorithm is far more insidious than that. It is, you know, obviously and oftentimes based on profiling, and it's implicit signals, based on implicit signals. So yeah, I don't think children should be subject to that.
No, and you could argue that nobody online should be subject to that as well, particularly our young people. I was listening to a podcast about the Adam Rain case, just to refer back to that briefly, but it really hammered home to me just how much these AI platforms have been designed to keep our attention and to keep engagement. And as you correctly pointed out, ChatGPT and others are designed to block copyright infringement. We've seen social media platforms blocking access to certain music because of copyright. So how and why can they do all of that but not put robust protections in place for our young people?
Well, and I worry sometimes it's a lack of clarity, you know, like where copyright laws are black and white, you know, so it's very clear. And I worry that some of our regulation isn't black and white in the same way. It's open to interpretation. You know, if you think of something like the Digital Services Act, it is their guidelines. In terms of Article 28, which relates to children, it's their guidelines. They're not legally binding. They create optionality in the language. So they talk about prioritizing explicit signals from kids as over implicit. But what does that even mean? To my mind, it creates opt-out.
Yeah, Alex, we always end up having this conversation no matter what we're talking about. But your research seems to show that parental action is making an impact. The number of kids with smartphones is down, although the number with smart devices is around the same. So parents are definitely doing their part. Does the responsibility here lie with the government, with the EU, or is it firmly at the feet of the tech companies?
Well, I think it's all of the above, because we've seen historically that the tech companies are not going to do it out of the goodness of their hearts. They are going to be putting profits at the top of their priority list. So we have to create the guardrails and impose them on them. And the clearer and more specific the guardrails are, the easier it is to comply. The more opt-out you give, or the more kind of self-evaluation that you allow them, you know, that the harder it is to achieve this kind of clearer set of standards and principles relating to children. So I think that, you know, it is a combination of all of them. obviously, if we were doing this at kind of across a European level, and there are, I mean, there's the Digital Services Act, there's the AI Act. We are open for consultation at the moment is the Digital Fairness Act. So there is a range of measures at that level that should afford users greater protections, should afford child users greater protections. But the worry is that there are plenty of gaps and plenty of loopholes that exist, and we need to try and close those as quickly as possible.
One thing we spoke about on this show, and indeed the Pat Kenny Show and the Hard Shoulder recently, was President Donald Trump putting out a post on Truth Social, sort of threatening to take action against countries that abide by European legislation and regulations. So things like GDPR and the Digital Services Act and so on. If that does come to fruition, what can you envisage happening when it comes to our young people and social media? Like, are we hopeful that the EU will stand firm and be willing to, you know, run the risk of potentially losing access to American platforms?
Yeah, of course, President Trump's stance and his proclamations have been really, really unhelpful here. And I think it's partly because there's this sort of technology race, and America wants to be at the front of it, and regulation is seen to stymie progress. To my mind, we should be talking about safety and progress. You know, it shouldn't be one or the other. We should be able to find solutions that address the safety of the most vulnerable users and still allow and facilitate progress. So it's a very frustrating stance that he's taken. And yeah, I am a bit worried because I've heard from, you know, various sources that there is a nervousness at the European level in terms of imposing these requirements, or indeed going further, which of course is what we would like to see, on particularly US companies. So yeah, I hope Europe, of course, does stand strong. You know, we need to. I think it's really important. This is a critical moment in the digital age. We urgently need to stand strong. And these tech companies, for sure, exert enormous pressure behind the scenes to water things down and to, you know, ensure that they're not, that these regulations won't be overly burdensome and so on. And they've had some success, I think, in that. Looking to the future, we urgently need Europe to stand strong. This is not acceptable that these companies operate still with so much freedom. The fact is, they can roll out features like, you know, say Meta's AI feature, you know, from one day to the next without the proper checks and balances. You know, I saw a report the other day that said they're going to introduce additional safeguards. And I'm thinking, well, why didn't you put that at the design stage? Wouldn't it have been a lot easier to do that at the design stage rather than try and retrofit at a later stage? And ChatGPT has said similar things, obviously, on the back of this case. And there's another very similar case in the US, in Florida, the Rivera family are taking a case against Character.ai, and I think Google as well, for a similar situation involving their son, a 14-year-old boy. I think we'll increasingly see these sorts of cases, and unless we do put proper guardrails in place.
Okay, so let's try and end on a positive note. The kids are back in school. We've heard and are digesting the results of your survey. We've seen the positive impact that parents can make. So what should parents be doing from today and going forward to try and keep their kids safe online whilst still allowing them to interact with technology?
Well, I think they should definitely take heart in this progress that we've made in quite a short period of time over the last year in this reduction. I think these are sizable reductions, and it is showing that, you know, parents coming together, schools coming together, it really does make a difference. So I was on a radio show this morning, and there were a couple of people writing in with questions, and, you know, the questions was sort of, well, how can we get involved in things like this? And, you know, what if it's only a couple of us and you know, the majority still want to give the same levels of access, and you only need a couple to start with. You know, this is how movements build. So don't be discouraged. You know, if you feel strongly about it, reach out to others, find others that also feel strongly, because that's how you start to build a community. So I would say, you know, the hold off thing is a really positive thing until you think your children are kind of at the stage where they're more able for all that comes with this digital access. But it's the conversation conversations as well remain vital. You know, there is so much going on in the world at the moment, and you know, we can be talking about fake news and mis and disinformation. There's plenty of great examples that you can cite. There's great resources, even conversation starters on websites like ours, Common Sense Media, webwise.ie. You know, there's loads of great resources. So and I know even there's even advice on how to set up groups, like these support groups. So, you know, there is plenty of information. So I think it's about coming together and trying to shift the dial, because, yeah, if we're waiting for regulation, it unfortunately could be a long wait.
Well, as Alex said there are brilliant resources out there, CyberSafe Kids amongst them, but webwise.ie, there's a brilliant parental portal on ispcc.ie. And as always, you can email me, techtalk@newstalk.com. But for the moment, Alex Cooney, CEO of CyberSafe Kids, thanks so much for joining me here on News Talk.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's plenty to digest in that report, and you can find the full thing up on the CyberSafe Kids website if you so wish. News Talk's Henry McKean went out to a school this week and asked young people how, when and why they're using AI.
I used to think that they were good, but now like I'm coming to it, I don't really think anymore that it's very good.
And why don't you think it's very good?
Because, say, when you use it for homework and you ask it a question, you're getting no learning out of it. You're asking the question and you're getting the answer.
Do your teachers know that you might be using it? How do they feel about it?
I don't think our teacher knew at the moment, and I think the teacher would more encourage us to ask her more than ask ChatGPT. I think one time when I was in, like, say, an argument with my friend, I'd ask how to sort it out.
And what did it say?
It'd say, like, talk to the friend, be comfortable, and just, like, don't get angry.
How do you use it?
Just to, like, make it do maths for me, or like...
You'd ask it to do your maths?
Yeah.
And does it get the answers right?
Mostly, yeah.
So the teachers know?
Yeah. I just ask it to how to, like, do my homework and all. Maybe, like, some hard questions. I'll just ask the ChatGPT how to do it. So I used it for homework once, but it denied to give me the answer, I think, on WhatsApp.
It wouldn't give you the answer?
Yeah, it said, like, are you cheating or something? It didn't want me to get the... It didn't want to give me the answer. Meanwhile, sometimes when I don't have anyone to accompany with, I just chat with it to see what it responds with.
Do your parents know that you're using it?
My parents don't mind using it, because I want to stop using it, because it doesn't really do anything to me.
And would you try and use it for friendship if you were lonely? Would you chat to it?
No, that's something crazy now.
I don't think I'd use ChatGPT because it's AI and you don't know who's behind it. Because you don't really know what's, like, behind it and what it's going to say after you ask the question. I only use it for, like, a meaning of a sentence.
Yeah, that report from News Talk's Henry McKean. I would love to hear from you. Have you had a conversation with your kids about AI? Are they using it? Do they like it? Do they know the pitfalls that can come from it? Techtalk@newstalk.com. Now, when we come back here on News Talk, ahead of the launch of the new iPhone 17, we're going to look back at the story of Apple.